I'm very lucky. I'll be in the warmth of the Capitol. I'm lucky in that way. I'm lucky in that I'm not sure that I'm actually going to be able to see the swearing in with my own eyes. Maybe watching it on television from the Capitol. But for anybody that thinks I'm getting it easy, I've been outside. Yesterday I was out there for about 9 hours.
Doing what? Oh, you mean at the concert?
Before the concert, doing the shoe weather reporting of talking to people about why they showed up for the inauguration and why they were willing to brave all that cold. I've never seen anything like it yesterday in terms of a crowd on the Mall.
Yeah, the media room there up in the Capitol, I think, isn't it on the north end facing away from where you'd want to be able to, if you looked out the window, you couldn't see the portico.
There's one on the north side, on the Senate side, and there's one on the south side. Neither one of them faces west.
So you don't know anyone? None of your sources can get you into one of the windows looking down on it?
Well, the question is whether the Secret Service is going to want a lot of people close to the windows in the Capitol.
Sure. Absolutely. But you will get to see some of the events that take place inside the Capitol, for instance, the inaugural luncheon. What about that?
Right. I should be able to take a look at that. There will be a lot of big wigs there.
Big wigs. Very big wigs.
Yeah, that's as big as they get.
Yeah. They put out... It's so well covered. They put out a media guide with the recipes for the food they're getting.
I know. I saw that. I saw the recipes, as a matter of fact. It's a lot of wild game on that menu.
A lot of wild game in the room.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, maybe you could steal a roll and sort of case it in Lucite and say, hey, this was an Obama inauguration roll. But I was wondering...
If I can get a roll, I'll send it to you guys.
All right. We'll cut it up into fits.
Send it to Tom.
You can eat it on the air.
Well, I was wondering, I mean, to get into the Capitol for your beat, for your location, it is now 7:31 on the morning before. What time are you going to have to start getting into a line somewhere to get in?
You know, I'm really not sure about that yet. I'm figuring that out today for tomorrow. they put out special passes for the Capitol for Monday and Tuesday. Actually, hard credentials that are very much like the annual ones that reporters get. I was surprised to see how much went into that. There's a whole Secret Service screening thing before you can get a credential to be in the Capitol for these 2 days that started several weeks ago. So they're taking it very seriously. I believe it's not going to be too bad to get into the Capitol simply because there's a limited number of people who are going to be allowed to be in the Capitol.
So it's got its own entrance.
One of the rarefied number. How many media do you think would be allowed in the Capitol that day?
I really have no idea, but I do know that, CQ's got, dozens and dozens of reporters that are typically on Capitol Hill, and I think we've got two or three passes for the day.
Yeah, so very limited numbers.
It's very scaled back. There's an entrance for media to come in that's very near where I'm going to, and my sense is it's not going to be as bad as the lines are for the public to get into the, to get into the Mall, or particularly for ticket holders, the 250,000 people who are lucky enough to have tickets. It'll probably take them a little while to get into the staging area at the foot of the Capitol.
I can imagine. Jonathan Allen, a reporter from Congressional Quarterly, is joining us this morning to talk, and CQPolitics.com, to talk about his role in the inauguration tomorrow. And if we could just jump ahead from the inauguration to the day after, and that will be the hearing on Capitol Hill for Timothy Geithner, the nominee as Treasury Secretary. There's been a lot of discussion about whether or not his tax problems, the $48,000 in taxes and penalties that he had to pay on Medicare and Social Security taxes he neglected to pay while he was at the International Monetary Fund, will pose a problem for him on Wednesday. What do you think?
I think what we're seeing so far is the likelihood that there are going to be Republicans that vote for him in committee and then on the floor of the Senate. And so I don't think at this point that his confirmation is in danger. We've seen Judd Gregg from New Hampshire, a Republican on the Finance Committee, and Orrin Hatch of Utah come out and say supportive things of Geithner in the wake of these revelations. Olympia Snow of Maine has indicated that she's leaning toward voting to confirm him. But what we might see is some Republicans on the committee try to bloody him up a little bit, make some hay out of it. So it may be more of an embarrassment, more damaging, if you will, to him than actually endangering his nomination. And that's in large part because a lot of these members believe that he's been a central part of the recovery package to this point, and he's somebody who they think is competent to handle it going forward. And there's this big economic crisis, and I think there's a willingness to overlook this, in part because of that, and also in part because there's a lot of goodwill toward Obama right now.
It sounds like the Republicans really are saving whatever big gun firepower they have for really big gun issues and not something over trivial like attack. Well,
or why torpedo somebody that they want? I mean, if the Republicans really liked Tim Geithner, why would you torpedo his nomination? Am I reading that accurately?
No, I think that's absolutely right. You know, one of the things I've heard from senators, particularly conservative senators, is they're not sure what they would get if they got rid of Geithner. You know, who would be the next
president
that Obama would? Right. They believe Geithner is a pretty serious fellow, and they are not, you know, as far as Democrats go, they don't find him to be abhorrent. So if they were to get rid of him, they may end up with someone worse.
That'd be a great thing to put on your resume someday. The Republicans did not find me abhorrent.
Well, you had a great line the other day when we were on News Channel 8. What was the question that you posed about his candidacy? People are looking for perfection.
You know, we've gotten to this point in our society and in our politics where we're looking not for public service but perfect service. And I think that, you know, we've seen nominees in the past taken down over small issues. You can argue whether or not this is a small issue, but I think what we've seen is the seriousness of the times have made the senators look more for the big, broad scope issues in these nominees, and less at personal foibles, or even in this case, you know, the somebody who's going to run the IRS not paying their taxes, them being willing to overlook at that compared to the sort of bigger picture of the financial ruin that's just over the cliff.